Thank you. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to that place where our Savior Christ has gone before, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though some strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around you, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Sometimes I worry about being found acceptable in God's sight, about accumulating enough brownie points, as somebody put it to me the other week, to be considered worthy of heaven or God's care. I worry that I need to do something to make sure God loves me, notices me, although maybe not too much, hoping that whatever it is I'm doing will lead God to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into the joy of your master." And Jesus even, that's a quote from Jesus, but it comes out of a parable in Matthew. And I find that when I'm beginning, that anxiety of being right and doing right begins to really grow in me. Often we'll have a reading, maybe the gospel we had this morning, or maybe the reading from the Acts of the Apostles that we heard. It tends to say something else. The reading from the Acts of the Apostles, well, that was spoken to a bunch of very humanly humans who, when the going got tough, they ran away and hid. But when asked a direct question, fibbed, fudged, said, "Who me? I don't know him." And yet, we're still told, as we are told, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will be my witnesses. Not you've earned the right to be my witnesses, or you finally figure everything out and will no longer make so many ghastly mistakes, and so maybe I can start to trust you to be my witnesses. But simply, you are, and you will be, my witnesses in Jerusalem. Margaret and I were at clergy conference this last week, and Bishop Wright, who's the Bishop of Atlanta, reminded us that the biblical Jerusalem is a place of misused raw power, dashed hopes, and betrayal. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in those places and anywhere else you happen to find yourself. What do we do with those two feelings about who we are to be? Now, today happens to be the first Sunday after the Feast of the Ascension, which was on Thursday, so I was wondering if maybe the doctrine of the Ascension can help us with this a little bit. The Ascension itself, while it is a very important doctrine in the church, sometimes gets ignored, in part because it falls on a Thursday, always, and also because it's after the resurrection. But it's still part of Easter, so kind of forget it sometimes. But also, I think, because some of the iconography can be just plain silly. Have you ever seen a stained glass window with a bunch of puffy clouds and then feet hanging out of the bottom of it? That's the Ascension. It's silly. A few weeks ago, Pamela gave a sermon that had a felt board, giant felt board on it, and she put a picture, an icon on it, of a heart that had hands. And it was kind of silly looking too, but the idea was that it would keep us mindful of the loving heart and hands of God at work in the world. Today, if we had that flannel board up there, we would have puffy clouds and feet. And it's silly. But I don't know about you, but I know for me, sometimes I've felt that way. My head in a fog and no place to put my feet. And I think another reason we sometimes hold the Ascension at arm's length is because it has a lot to teach us about the nature of God and who we are in relationship to that God. And those sorts of things are always scary. Over the past couple of weeks, I've asked several of you what you think about the doctrine of the Ascension, what Jesus' ascending into heaven means to you. Now, if you happen to be one of those I pestered, I want to thank you for your time and your truly serious consideration of the question. I was quite moved by what I heard. And I'm not going to talk about anything that anybody said to me, because they weren't those kinds of conversations, but I would like to share some of the things that those conversations stirred up in me. The doctrine, well, it's a story, a kind of parable that addresses why we might want to worry about living the way Jesus teaches us to, and why we don't need to worry about that at all. So what is the story? We tell the story every week when we say the Nicene Creed. It's in that bit about Jesus Christ, when we say that Jesus Christ, who for us and for our salvation has come down from heaven and lived among us and suffered and died and rose, and then we get to the definition of the dictionary definition of the Ascension. You can say it with me if you want. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. There's the Ascension. Why do we care? What does it tell us? Well, here's one thing I heard. That Christ, who was from the beginning, came down to earth. And he brought his divine nature into our profane, created nature. And then, scooping that up, ascended into heaven, uniting us with God. None of us were making that up. In the second century already, Irenaeus was writing and preaching about that. And I'm here to testify that in the 21st century in Davis, there are people who are still talking about that. About that swirling new creation of God that the Ascension completes. Not just when we die, but now and always. Coming down, lifting us up, and bringing us together. Sister Elia Delio is a Franciscan theologian, and she writes about this picture that the parable shows us, saying Christ is always emerging in us as we seek to grow in love. Jesus' ascension into heaven conveys to us a new reality, that our humanity is fulfilled in God, and God is fulfilled in us. As Jesus proclaimed, I am with you always until the end of time. Now, this way of reading the Ascension actually helped me yesterday when I was dealing with some of the more fractious members of God's family. It helped me because it dawned on me that the fisherman, all caps, the fisherman has come down with his net and has scooped us all up into heaven. And when all I can think about is some of these things, these people, well, they stink. Well, it's true. And I probably stink too. But Jesus doesn't care about that one bit. What Jesus is concerned about is feeding a world that is hungry in oh so many ways. And we, all of us, are invited into that swirling growth of love so we can truly help him with that each day. Now, here's another thing I heard. In the context of the church year, which is its own kind of parable, of course, we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension 40 days after the resurrection. 40 days. Easter's 50, so we're still in Easter, but 40 days. Well, can you hear the rain? 40 days and 40 nights, it rained, and then the sun came out, and the land dried, and the window in the ark was opened, and there was a new creation. And all of life spread to the four corners of the world. Ascension reminds us that there's always a fresh new creation. And we go from 40 days, it's not too far, to 40 years. And again, we're hearing this time, though, the Exodus. The Ascension is a story that puts us in mind of our bondage being ended. We are set free from bondage to Pharaoh or power or status or money or demands or expectations or whoever it is, whatever it is that says it is God but is not God. Our chains have been loosed. And we have been bound so tightly to worry that we're not good enough, or anxiety about failure, or to blindness to reality, or the need to assert control over others or outcomes, or to whatever our own particular self-obsession is. It can take a long time of wandering in the wilderness and learning how to depend on God, and arguing with God about that, and learning some more of how to depend on God to shake us free of our chains as we are being formed into a people, formed, shaped, and readied for Pentecost, and able to love our neighbors, which is nothing less than all creation, as ourselves. And one more. Sometimes we all get discouraged. Nothing seems to matter. Jesus is gone. Oh, yeah, there's a promised return, but today he's gone. That's part of the experience of the Ascension, too. We can't see very far ahead. Everything's kind of foggy. We look up, but there's nothing to see, and there's nowhere solid to put our feet. They're just flapping in the wind. N.T. Wright calls that experience the Christ space. When we find ourselves there, the Ascension tells us, the story tells us, to turn to one another. Even in the middle of places of misuse, raw power, dashed hopes, and betrayal, share in those places with awe and thanksgiving those things of wonder that we do see, and the Holy Spirit will find us there. So what I heard in the story of the Ascension, listening to some of you this month, is that we might want to worry about living the way Jesus teaches us because we have been caught up in the mysterious work of the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. And because of that, what we do and how we live matters. And we can set worry aside because we don't have to worry about God. What God wants, what God gives us, is freedom. So we can learn to live out of a heart of love and be part of that love's hands and heart at work in the world. Even, or maybe even especially, when we can't see where we're going and feel like there is no firm place to stand. Ascension reminds us the kingdom is within and among us. We might not always be able to see or feel it, but together we're each held within the dynamism of a living, risen, and ascended Christ. And for that, we can give thanks to God. That's what you helped me find in the story of the Ascension. What is it that you find?
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation, and came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the Church and for the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them to the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your glory, O God, fills the whole creation. Send your power from on high to illumine the earth with your presence, that we may be one as you and the Son are one, in the strength of your Holy Spirit, for you are one God in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Well, you can be seated while we have a few announcements. One is that Pamela is not here this morning, in case you didn't notice. She's at Grace St. Helena teaching and preaching there this morning, but she'll be back anytime. Another is that we have a parish magazine called Reflections, and the third edition is out. It's online, and there are also copies back on the welcome table in the narthex if you want one. Also on the in the welcome table in the narthex, there is a sign-up sheet for a place at the table, which is a potluck dinner that occurs at different places throughout the year. The next one is coming up, and there's still a little bit of room. So if you're interested, you can go sign up. Before I forget, there's an usher in the back with bags. And if you are new here, if you've never been here before, or you've just never gotten the bag before, he's happy to give you one. Just raise your hand. That's all you need to do. We don't call on you or anything. And it has the magazine and some other things, including chocolate in it. So it's very good. Yes. Another thing I've been asked to announce, a whole bunch, of course. There's lots of information on your yellow sheet, and there's even more announcements online. I want to point out that today, following this service, in rooms 5 and 6, I should read it, but there's a adult Bible study titled Knowing Jesus in a New Way. It should be really good. Our own Diane is putting it on for us, so if you have the time, please show up. It should be really interesting. Another thing is there's a ballet in here at 4 o'clock, so you might want to come back then too. And next week we only have one service. There's no 8 o'clock. I forgot to announce that at 8, so, but I'll let you guys know there's no 8 o'clock service, and it's just 10, and it's Pentecost, so there's a big celebration. And Carol asked me to announce that this is June 6th. There's a tour of Uprooted at, that's weird. There's a tour at the California Museum that is called Uprooted, and it is about the Japanese Americans during World War II and the internment camps around here. And that is something we as a congregation have been learning more and more about. So it should be very interesting. There's information about getting tickets and all that. So you might want to look at that. One more thing and then I'll stop. If you or someone you love is graduating this year, this spring, and you would like to have them recognized, honored some way by the congregation, what you have to do is let Janet, wherever she is, know. There she is, way in the back. Let Janet know so she can get the names printed. And that's coming up on May 31st, so don't dawdle. And that is all I have for announcements, unless there's anybody with something burning. No, okay. That means we get to move on to celebrations and milestones. Anybody have any that they would like to mention? Yeah, Tim. Your wife's birthday is Tuesday. That's a good one. Yeah.
I turned 75 tomorrow, and I am still young at heart.
Garda.
My granddaughter just graduated from Boise State.
Wow, great. So we have a graduation from Boise State.
I beat you, Granny. I had a 91st birthday.
Don. We're going to celebrate Don's grandson, who is fighting fires in California. Ma'am. Marianne. Oh, that's exciting. Now, who'd I forget? Yeah.
I know that we're celebrating graduations in a couple weeks, but someone else said a graduation. I am very proud of my wife, who is graduating this Thursday with her PhD in theology and ethics. And so, May.
Debbie. Oh, I'll get there.
We're hosting a graduation celebration at our house for our grandson and for his girlfriend. He's graduating from Consumers River College and then transferring, and she's graduating from the Prudential Program at Sac State. But my daughter, my oldest daughter, her daughter, and my son-in-law are going to be out here, and we're going to pick them up at the airport.
So we got graduations, we got family coming together, lots to celebrate. All right, I almost hesitate to say any more. Okay. And I have a granddaughter who's turning one this week. So one and 91 and 75. Well, so much to celebrate. Let's turn to page 5 and pray together.
Watch over your children. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
All right. Communion. There's instructions in the bulletin. If you don't know what we're doing, you can always just ask somebody, but let me give you the brief rundown. All are welcome at the table of the Lord. Our bread is vegan and gluten-free, so to make it as accessible as possible. We celebrate around the altar. The ushers will let you know when it's time to come up and take your place. You can stand or kneel, extend your hands, and you will get a piece of bread placed in that. If you want it, and the children have just returned from godly play, which is always wonderful. If you want it, if you wish, you can consume it then and then drink from the common cup. If you'd rather just leave it in your hand, then it will be picked up and dunked in the bread and placed back in your hand. And you can always just cross your arms over your chest to receive a blessing. That's it in brief, but there's always more, so just ask if you need help. And let us walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, through your dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. After his glorious resurrection, he openly appeared to the apostles and in their sight ascended into heaven to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we might also be and reign with him in glory. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior, Jesus Christ, took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember Christ's death. We proclaim Christ's resurrection. We await Christ's coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with Blessed Martin and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we say first in Spanish and then in English, Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, Sanctificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Together, let us pray. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Savior.
Amen.
And may the risen Christ, who has passed into the heavens, clothe you with power from on high, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.